Romans 14 and verse number 10. He said, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." And that's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. And I want us to look here where the Lord said, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Here in the con, and that's what I'm preaching on, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee shall bow to me. The Lord is saying this. And he's not just talking about saved people. We'll get to it in a moment. He's talking about everybody. At some time or another. Now, in the context here in Romans 14... he lets us know that we'll stand before, you know, and give an account. We'll give an account. So in verse 12, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. That's us that are saved. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now we have what is called accountability to God, and then we have a responsibility. A responsibility not to put a stumbling block before our brother. It's this thing that the Lord... and there were many of them that their lives was a stumbling block to somebody else. Caused them to either not live for Christ or may have caused the lost person to not be saved. And the Lord very strongly wanted you and I not to judge one another anymore. Now, he's not going against what he said in other passages when he said, judge righteous judgment. Know ye not that, you know, you'll judge the world, judge angels. He told us, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. Those things that he commanded us to judge. But he's talking to us in this way of the, you know, the Christian life of us judging one another and putting stumbling blocks in one another's way. He said that you and I are in verse number 10. He said, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Now, when I read this, it reminded me of what Jesus told them over there in Matthew, I believe. He said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. First, pull out the beam that you might see clearly to pull the mote out of thy brother's eye. So he's saying here, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's us that are saved. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's different than the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is for the lost. The Bible said in Revelations, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. That's not saved people. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, everyone, out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead. When the Bible speaks of the dead that way, he's talking about them that are dead in trespasses and sin. Not just dead in body, dead in soul, dead in trespasses and sin. And he goes on and says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life. That's the great white throne judgment. God proving to the world, your name is not in the book of life. You never got saved. You never received my son. You never trusted his blood. That's the great white throne judgment. You see, the Bible is very clear that they will not rise with us and that we will not sit in judgment with them to be judged like they are, when they are. But Paul did say here, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the Bema seat of Christ. And that judgment seat of Christ, he's talking about us like a stool under his feet. What did the Lord say here? Every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth. And he goes on and says, all things, all enemies. He'll use that same judgment stool to the lost and to even Satan. And his angels, that they shall all be under his feet. Under his judgment. Under his final condemnation. But you and I are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That, to me, that's a scary thing. Knowing that I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ makes me want to be better to you, John. Not badder to you, if I could say it that way. Not worse to you. Not constantly. I mean, that I would stand before the same judgment there, wherewith you judge, ye shall be judged. If I'm constantly on a negative, then what kind of judgment am I going to receive? But if I'm helping my brother and my sister in Christ, get up. You can do this. I'm praying for you. I love you. Come on, let's go. You pick up your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you look that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Christ is going to judge us. Our Lord and Savior will judge us. Thank God He's my Savior. But He's going to judge us, not for our sin, but according to our works. According to how we treated our brothers and sisters in Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to give an account. There's accountability in everything we do. Every decision you make as a Christian, you're going to give an account for. I'm going to give an account for. I'll give an account for preaching this book, how I preached this book, the truth that I told you, and any truth I may not have told you. That's why it's a fearful thing. Listen, I don't preach the truth to hurt you, but to help you. To help you and to help me. And we're going to be accountable. We're all going to give an account to God. And he said, let us not, therefore, because of that, judge one another anymore. Not one another, not anymore. It's not up to me to judge John. I need to pray for him. I need to be an example to him. I sure don't need to be a stumbling block to him. And I don't need to judge him. Christ is his judge. Paul made that clear, that Christ is our judge. There's one that judges, Christ. Now again, this is not dismissing you and I judging a tree by the fruit it bears. It's not for you and I to dismiss judging the actions that may have to be taken in the church when sin arises. There are things that you and I have to judge. And that's a fearful thing. Why? Because we're going to give an account for how we did it. Why we did it. What the outcome was for. But it looks here like the Lord is forbidding us to judge one another, to put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, to lead my brother into something that would cause him to fall. Well, when I'm convinced that I have Christian liberty to do something in this world, and then I lead John into that same thing, if it was to cause him to get worldly or cause him to go deeper into sin, then what have I done? I've done exactly what the apostle said here. I put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in my brother's way. What I led him into. There's a lot of like this. There's a lot of believers today that they just absolutely will believe it's okay for them to drink a little bit of alcohol, one beer, a glass of wine. And they lead a lot of other youngins into that area. And you know what happens to them? Many of them fall because of it. The temptation is too great. The Bible, God goes on down here and he says, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, verse 15, now walkest thou not charitably. The things that you and I do, Paul said, if meat make my brother to offend, I'll not eat meat while the world stands. If what I have liberty to do is an offense to a weaker brother, then I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it and then offend their weak conscience. Some things may be all right, but if it's really that strong of an offense to somebody, see, if you sin against them, the Bible's clear, you sin against Christ. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Now, here's what the Lord said. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, he said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," talking about Christ, "giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Amen. God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. Amen. What does Jesus mean? Somebody tell me what Jesus means. Savior. There's only one man God's give that name to. His Son. Savior. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee. Every knee. Everywhere. Look at this. Of things in heaven. Of all the things it's created in heaven, their knees will bow. Of things in the earth, everything that's created in the earth will bow its knee. What do you think that meant? And of things under the earth. That's the subterranean world. That's where Sheol, Tartarus, that's where hell is. The angels that are reserved in darkness, those in hell, things under the earth. You better believe, listen, there's a world down there. It ain't full of dinosaurs. Are you listening to me? And it don't have pretty rivers running through it, have crystals shining everywhere. It's full of smoke and lava and fire. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and forever and forever. There is no water. Every one of those knees will bow. Every knee shall bow, he said, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. God hath highly exalted him. Highly exalted him. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me. Now, back in Romans, when the Lord said in verse 11, "For as it is written, as it is written, for as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God." And then I just read to you in Philippians, basically said the same thing. But here in Romans he said, "For it is written." Where is it written? Isaiah 45:23. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 23, "I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. He said, one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. They're going to be saved people saying, he's my righteousness. And those that are incensed against him will be ashamed. Those that did not find righteousness in Christ will be ashamed. He's the only place, the only person wherein we could find righteousness. So he tells us, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. God had highly exalted him. God gave him a name that's above every name. Look at this. At his name every knee must bow. Everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything under the earth, every tongue will confess his lordship to the glory of God the Father. In every world that exists, in the heavens above, in the earth, and in the underworld, all of creation, there's no escaping this day of judgment that every knee is going to get down. Great white throne judgment, they'll all be down on their knees and their tongues will be confessing, he is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. Amen. He is the Savior. Amen. He is God's Son. He's the Son of God and he is God the Son. He's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The only righteousness. But you know, all that confessing then is not going to save them. See, it's on this side that we confess. Those angels, listen, those that are in the underworld right now, all of them had a time to confess, whether they're sinners that are there or whether they're part of the angels that fell. The angels that fell, listen, they weren't always rebellious. But they got to the day they didn't believe he was Lord anymore. They believed Lucifer could be. Going to follow him. My goodness. My goodness. Paul said in Romans 14:14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now, in this context, he's talking about meat. When he said, I'm persuaded there's nothing unclean of itself. Fornication's unclean. Adultery. Sodomy. He's not talking about things that we know are unclean. He's talking about meat. Just meat. He's given that example. That's it. Why? Because there were issues about what they ate as a Jew, what they could eat now as a believer. And if a Hebrew under the law was seen eating a piece of pork, that was a big thing. That was a huge thing. You didn't do that. That don't seem like much, Brother Dave, eating a pork chop, does it? Eating a slice of bacon? Big piece of ham? What's wrong with that? It's because God told them, I don't want you to eat it. Period. Whether you understand it or not, I don't want you eating it. You're going to be a different people, and you're not going to eat this beast. It's unclean to you. There were certain birds unclean to you. There were certain things in the sea unclean to them because God said so. Other people eat them, perfectly healthy, didn't die, looked happy. They were doing it. That sounds just like today. Look at them. They're happy, having a good time doing that. Why can't I? Because God said, you're mine. You're different. You're not your own anymore. You're bought with a price. You belong to me. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the things we've done. Why? Because we're His. We are His. Why He wanted us to live the way we did and not judge one another. Here was the end of it. In verse 15 of Philippians 2. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We should be so different that the world can't help but to see we're different, like a light shining in a dark place. Our lives need to be that different. It's right. Listen, God gives us commands right down. And some people, they don't like this. Some people don't believe it. But listen, right down to the way we dress ourselves, the way we wear our hair. A woman's hair, God gave it to her for a glory and for a covering. A man's hair, He said, nature itself even teaches that if a man have long hair, it is a shame. So when the world is, you know, doing and changing the things that they're doing and changing, what are we supposed to do? Be like them or be like Him? Be like Him. In everything that we do, that you and I could be blameless and harmless. Harmless. The sons of God without rebuke. You know how many times that the world has pointed their finger at the church? I don't want people to be able to point their finger at me. I don't want to spend my life judging my brother. I'd rather help him. Judging him is not going to help him none. Look at him. Why don't he do this? Why didn't he do that? He's heard it. He's heard the preaching. He's heard the word. Why don't he start doing this? Why ain't he doing this? Why ain't I helping him? Why ain't I being a light to him? Showing him the word. Praying with him. Being a strength to him. Letting him know his life is on a different path now. The joy that's there waiting. The power that's waiting for the child of God that'll just walk with the Lord. Amen. All right, I'm done.